Good morning. Our scripture reading today is going to be from Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainfully puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God.
Well, good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. Our visitors, you honor us. You've chosen to worship God with us this day, and we know you had other choices, but your presence here is a ministry to us. And so we love seeing you, and especially those of you who come back frequently. It's really also encouragement to see folks who've been out sick for some time back with us today. It's always an encouragement to see them back and in good health once again. And so and we've had travelers, and it's good to have them back with us too, safely, and so God is good. So just love for you to come out this evening. We will be at the pavilion this evening for our evening service and fellowship and reaching out to the community. Love to have a good number present for that this evening. We will have a devotional service at the end of our fellowship meal up there, and just be a really good time for fellowship and being together. This morning we're going to talk about Christ-centered spirituality. Eric and I have been preaching lessons out of the book of Colossians, but I really can't treat it as a standalone because I think Paul's letters were shared with each church. I think they shared them back and forth with each other, and so Paul does not really confuse his theology or teachings. He complements them from different things. But I want to take this passage, even though it's not from Colossians, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 20. I really want to develop it. In light of what was read this moment a few moments ago about what not to put your trust in, not in angels or other things or other teachings, but in Christ and Christ alone. But I guess to sort of get context for this morning, I would like for us to read this together in unison. I know we don't do that a whole lot, but I think it's helpful for us to say this together. So if you will follow along with me, and let's everyone say it out loud together. Galatians chapter 1, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We sing it sometimes too, don't we? My goal this morning is, from this point forward, I want you to leave here with a better understanding of what this verse means and the implications of it. Eric and I go back and forth. We've been sharing sort of responsibilities of coming up with our sort of series, what we're doing on Sunday mornings as far as lessons. And I challenge myself sometimes, but sometimes Eric really challenges me. And so in the series in Colossians, I've had to dig a little deeper to make sure I've got some deep, cool water from the well to share with you. But I will say in this series, I've been preaching for a little while, guys, gals. Been a Christian since I was 12 years old. I have studied with some good teachers and studied with some great Christians. I found out something recently I'd never heard of in my life. I'm in a member of the church for over 60 years. And I never heard anyone say this word before. When I heard it, I had to think twice about it, and I got into it a little bit more. And the more I studied it, the more I realized I may have been shortchanged. and not being exposed to this concept earlier in my Christian walk. But maybe in God's sovereignty, I needed to know at the right time for me to be able to reflect on my life, but also to share with you something I hope that's going to help you grow as a believer and deepen your faith in Christ Jesus. And really, it's the essence of what you just said a moment ago. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live by faith, live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It was over 15 years ago, and we were on vacation, closer to 20, I guess, actually. We were on vacation. My family used to take vacations together. We would rent cabins at a state park, and we would sort of have this week-long Loftus thing in June. And so siblings would come in, nieces and nephews, and so forth. To my niece's dismay, she and her family that lived in Florida, they traveled around the world. They went everywhere. They took the kids to Costa Rica. They lived in the backyard of Disney. And her kids said their favorite vacation was coming to Tennessee to their cousin's vacation. That was their absolute favorite, and they just couldn't believe it. They'd take them skiing and play, you know, they thought. So but we were sitting. We had lunch that afternoon. We'd had the kids at the pool. Evan and Dylan were little at the time. And we'd gone down, and my aunt was in from Texas, my father's baby sister. She was 6 months old when their dad died, was killed. And we were sitting at lunch, after lunch, and she was looking at me. She said, "It hurts me to look at you." I said, "Why, Aunt Burton? Am I that ugly?" She said, "No." "All I see is your daddy." She saw her brother in me. He died at 44. I was probably in my 40s at the time. The irony of it is, I'd never made myself intentionally look like my father. It just happened. Because his DNA's in me. And of the four boys, I probably look more like him than anybody. Herb knew him. He might see some resemblances. So here's what I want you to know this morning. And that as believers, I think I'm dead in the water. We are called to be Christ-like. Another word for that is sanctification. Let's go to the next slide. Sanctification means being made holy. That's all that means. So God says, okay, I'm going to take you and I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to set you apart for a special purpose. And once something's been set apart for a special purpose, it's reserved for that purpose. We become Christ-like in our character and actions. We are transformed, we are changed. Thank you. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says, "But we with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, when someone's in you, you begin to look more like them. On more than one occasion, Tammy's remarked, "When I look in the mirror, I see my mama." When someone is in you, you begin to look like them. And there's nothing that you can do about that. Whether you like it or not, you look like them. Maybe there's a physical characteristic of your parents that you don't like. Maybe it's your nose or ears or eye, whatever, something you don't like. You can't help it. You begin to look like them. Christ-likeness is another way of describing this. It's reflecting Christ's character, living a way that reflects the character, mind, and love of Christ. Union with Christ, it's spiritual connection with Jesus. The believer's spiritual connection and oneness with Christ, through which he has his life is made manifest in them. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Listen to this last statement. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. I think sometimes maybe as believers we take too much credit for what we think we've accomplished in following Jesus. Lord, sort of like that Pharisee, I tithe, I give, I do wonderful things. You know, I'm just so thankful I'm not like this, you know, this publican over here. And the publican wouldn't even look toward heaven, but they beat their chest and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I'll tell you what, that guy there who acknowledged who he was before me went home justified more so than the guy over here thought they were doing me a lot of favors by being good. You see, we understand that the spirit connection with Christ is transforming in and of itself. We also can say that the indwelling of Christ, Christ lives in me. Isn't that what we said a few moments ago? The reality that Christ lives within the believers through the Holy Spirit is a great gift, a great promise. This morning, we've been studying from the book of Hebrews. We're looking at the Old Testament's analogies and references in the book of Hebrews. And one of the things we spent time with this morning in the book of Jeremiah, the foretelling of this great new covenant, in which Jeremiah says that the day God tells Jeremiah, hey, the day's going to end. Well, you don't have to tell your neighbor to know the Lord. They'll know the Lord. And I firmly believe that's spelled out to us in John chapter 16. When Jesus told the disciples, hey, it's a good thing I'm leaving. Because when I leave, the Helper comes. When the Helper comes, it's going to do three things. It's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. The Holy Spirit is out there working on the lives of people all around you every day. Yes, you share the gospel by how you live and by what you say, by the invitations you give people to have a relationship with Jesus. But I'll tell you what, you're not saving anybody. Sometimes I've heard preachers and people call themselves pastors say, I've saved this many people in my lifetime, right? No, you didn't. If they were saved, it was not by you. It was by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because without him, we can do nothing. And without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we cannot become that vision of Jesus that we see in the mirror. Just like I can't help my genes, you can't help your genes. You're being transformed into that image because someone dwells in you and your DNA. So does a believer. You're being transformed day by day. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes we just see Jesus in other people. It's a manifestation of Christ. When you see it, you know it. When you see people who have just been living the life of Jesus for a long time, you just sense it and you know it, and you just want to get close to them to absorb their goodness. We have a lot of people like that here at Netherland. We've had a lot of people over the years like that here at Netherland who you just want to absorb their goodness. Ma Woolbright's one of those people here for us because when she comes, everybody just feels better. You just want to absorb her goodness. We can think of many people who've gone on to receive the reward, who just in their quiet spirit and their presence just made you a better person. Inspiration. Sometimes this is the term that Christ's life is being evident through the life of believers by their actions in a transformed life. Jesus didn't die for us that we might wallow in our misery. Jesus died for us that he might transform us into his image, to bless us, to bring us hope, to bring us peace, and to bring us joy. John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus says this: "He who has my commandments and keep them is he who loves me. And he who loves me be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." If Tim and I look a bit taggered, I can talk. A little bit haggard and tired today. I guess taggered would be a combination of tired and haggard. We've had the grandkids since Wednesday. And it's been a joy, but it's been a challenge. Because we try to respect our kids, and we try to keep the same rules tracking down through our house too as well. So, but very often, both of them, Griffin's growing out a little bit, but Maxine's still asking a whole lot. You tell her something, but why? It's time to take a nap. But why? It's time to take a bath. But why? It's time to eat lunch. But why? It's time to wash your face. But why? The maturation of growing in Christ is, I don't ask but why anymore. If Jesus says, love each other enough to want to be together, I don't say but why. Just love each other enough to be together. If Jesus says, do good to my fellow man, Brother Steve Mosley shared a video with us about the Good Samaritan. It's not but why, just because he said to. I mean, haven't we all pulled that trump card as an adult, as a parent, as a grandparent? Because I said so? No debate, no argument. I read an article just this past week. The one thing that parents are failing today, this is written by a teacher, failing today in raising their kids that would help them be successful in education. The one thing, and I said, I hardly came into it. The one thing this teacher wrote that said that parents are failing to teach their kids at home before they get in the education system that would make them more successful in education. The one thing. You want to guess what it was? No. What does the word no mean? That's non-negotiable. You don't pout. You don't pitch a fit. You simply say no is no. You know? And I thought that was a pretty... This is a teacher's perspective. How does it take kids to understand? No! You know, you can't do that, you know, without having to get... But why? So, transformation of Christ is just like being Christ-like. This is the word. I'm 60, soon to be 62 years old. Never heard to this, getting ready for this lesson. Theosis. It's not that hard a word to say. Theosis. Never heard it. Never heard it. Now, what I discovered in my studies is that this is not novel. In fact, the Eastern churches, the Orthodox churches, teach this. The Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, the Orthodox, the Eastern churches teach this. What's interesting, the gospel was started in the Eastern culture. It was an East, we've sort of made it Western, but it's really an Eastern perspective. The collectivists, they believe in we, not me. And so it's sharing in the divine nature. The ideal of theosis is becoming partakers of the divine nature through union with Christ. That when I become a Christian, I'm no longer the same. I'm different. In reality, in form, in substance, in hope, I've been transformed. I may look the same on the outside, but inside, I'm new. Paul says, behold, on Christ, all things are new. And so theosis, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, that ye may be partakers of the divine nature. Peter says, listen, you've escaped from the corruption that is in this world through lust. He said, you've been transformed. You've been made new. Theosis is no longer just me trying to be like Jesus. It's actually letting Jesus come through me, to emanate through me, through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Maybe that's why I never heard much about it, because we didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. But the recognition that God is up to something, it's transformative, it's changing. Theosis can be found in statements such as John chapter 17, verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us. In this world, you will come in contact with people that you may be the only representation of people of Jesus that they've ever known. They didn't grow in a Christian home. They didn't grow up in a loving environment. They did not experience that. But you come in contact with them. You speak the words of life to them. You share by example to them. And suddenly there's hope. And once they've experienced this hope becomes so real to them, they don't want to live without it. There are people who are part of this church that had such troubled, difficult times in growing up. And they experience a family of believers, a group of people that say, these people are now my family. And I cannot imagine life without them. And I will not live life without them. Folks, that's what church is. That's what it is. It's this transformative experience in which you experience other people who are showing Jesus all around you, who are partakers of the divine nature, so that when you're with them, you see Christ. And Christ is seen in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, again another statement, I believe, that indicates that Paul believes this just as well. Here, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, what? To be conformed to the image of his son. God wants us to look like Jesus. Herb shared last Sunday from the book The Shack and the movie The Shack. And it was challenging. I attempted the book 3 times, but I forgot to ever get through it because I just got frustrated with it. You got to read this, you got to read this, and it just didn't get it, you know. I enjoyed the movie better, then went back and reread the book. You know, it's sometimes challenging to see Jesus and God in other forms. But God is manifesting himself in over 100-something different ways here this morning. Your representation of God in Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because he's transforming us, conforming us to the image of his Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God is up to something. He is doing the action, not you. Jesus said you could do nothing without him. God is transforming you through the power of his Spirit. He's in the process. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just get out of the way and let him do his perfect work. And when you tell yourself you ought to do something, you ought to do it. Because that may be the Holy Spirit whispering in a still small voice. You know, it's time for you to step it up. Or it's time for you to commit. Theosis is a Christian journey of becoming more and more like God. Not by nature, we're not by his nature, but by his grace. Culminating in perfect eternal communion with Christ, with him through Christ. We kept the kids this week. Our daughter-in-law's been on a hike. She and her father and some friends. Our son, Dylan's been home working on his shop and working on a word project. And he said it's taking longer than he thought it would. You know what he said his problem is? He said, it's the sanding. It's the sanding. He said, the sanding always takes longer than I think it's going to take. Because you keep sanding and sanding and sanding to remove the perfection. To get the splinters out, By the way, I need to bring some. Any of you guys ever notice this? It's got a rust spot on it. So I need to get that rust spot out. But you get the splinters out. You get the grain smooth. And you think you're about done, and guess what? There's another imperfection. And you keep sanding and sanding and sanding. It's us. We acknowledge we're imperfect. We acknowledge we need some of the rust spots smoothed out. But we're trusting in God through His experience and empowering us through the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Theosis, it's the indwell who transformed life. It is the gift that God gave us. He didn't say, here's a new set of rules, follow them. That wasn't the new covenant, folks. It was, okay, the 10 you messed up, I'll give you a bunch more rules and you follow them, maybe you'll be better. It wasn't what it was about. It wasn't a covenant based upon rules, it was a covenant based upon relationship. I will dwell in you and transform you so that in this world you'll produce fruit complementary of me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Ain't nobody got any rules about that, against that. It's the powering the process. Theosis is the power of change. You're not asked to make yourself become more like Jesus. You're asked to accept Jesus and let the Spirit transform you to His image. This has been one of the problems of invitation for people to follow Jesus. We very often made it implied, you get straightened up and follow Jesus. Well, that's the implication. I've not got it figured out yet. Surely I need to know more. I don't know if I can do this Jesus thing yet. I don't know if I can do this church thing yet. We've put so many things in trying to encourage people to be good and act good that we've made people imply that they have to do the work of the transformation. And all you got to do is say yes. All you have to do is say yes, Jesus. Trust in this theosis. Trust in the power of transformation. That God will do it with you and transform you through His Spirit into His image. That's how He wants to reach the world. This should be familiar with you by now. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Ask you this morning, what or who is fueling your spiritual growth? If I ask you here this morning, and I'm pretty certain, yeah. I say, how'd you get here this morning? And you say, well, I got myself here. I drove a car, a vehicle. Good. You think so? That's what got you here? Sure. I don't care what you drive. I don't care if it's a vehicle that you've put together like Ray has. I don't care if you just got one off the showroom floor. You bought a vehicle down where Chris works. I don't care what it cost. You didn't get here. Unless it was fueled by something. Some people may have a battery-operated vehicle, but it's fueled by something, right? The nicest vehicle in the world is worth nothing if it doesn't have fuel for it, right? And maybe ever run out of gas. Whose fault was that? We even have warning lights on the thing. How many of you... You know, I have a theory that one of the warning lights in my vehicle gets brighter the closer you get to empty. Okay, I pressed it the other day. My tank of my vehicle holds 20 gallons. Okay, I put 19.8 gallons in my tank. I was 0.2 from empty, but I was looking for the cheaper gas because I knew it was empty. But, see, you can't get there on your own. You have to have fuel. So this morning, my question is, who's filling your spiritual growth? So, if you want to grow, surrender. Crucify self. I am crucified with Christ. Self-will is gone. I need to abide in Christ, prayer and scripture. If I want to look more like somebody, I should probably spend more time with them. Husband and wife were watching TV one evening, and they gave one of those little news reports, and they said, science has shown the more you spend time with somebody, the more you begin looking like them. The husband says, that figures. She says, what do you mean that figures? He said, that explains why you're getting good looking, more better looking every year. You're spending more time with me. So, abiding in prayer. Walk with the Spirit. Talk with the Spirit. Rely upon God's strength for renewal. Spend time studying it. For some of us, we're trying to catch up for what we don't know. Reflecting His character, love, humility, and patience. Become like Christ by knowing Him better. By knowing Him better. So what gets in the way? Pride. Our problems. You know, that's the biggest problem for many people, is our problems. It's not their vision. It's their attitude. But I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't understand that. I don't see the importance of that. I get a big eye problem. Jesus didn't have an eye problem. Jesus said to God, not my will, but your will be done. And sometimes an indication of maturity is just not having to ask why. And just do it. Worldliness. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Not of the Father. 1 John 2, verse 16 says, he said, this is not God. That statement always reminds me of the story about the little girl. Parents tucked her in bed. Good night kisses, tucked her in. In the middle of the night, they hear a thump, and she's crying. And they go in there, and she'd fallen out of bed. And they're trying to comfort her, tuck her back in. And they says, honey, what happened? She says, I guess I stayed too close in where it's too close to where I got in at. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in at. And I think that's the problem with some Christians. They just stayed too close where they got in at. Too close to the world. And neglecting the spiritual disciplines is starving the spirit. The spiritual part of your life needs to be nurtured. Some of you are raising gardens right now. You got to keep the weeds out. You got to do some hoeing. You got to do some fertilizing. And you got to do some watering. Okay? You got to tend to it. You've got to be mindful of it. You cannot neglect spiritual discipline. And that's prayer, meditation, fellowship. Sometimes, for some people, it's a discipline to be silent. To be still and know who God is. Paul said this in Romans chapter 7, talking about his own spiritual experience. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present in with me. But how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul said, I'm struggling. I try to be good. I want to be good. I really do. But the problem is I've got this sin problem and it just keeps messing me up. I keep making the same mistakes over. You relate to that? Keep making the same mistakes over and over again. But in the latter part of that same chapter, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe Paul believed in the ideal of theosis. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you.
I'm going to wrap this up. The Christian life is not just about being better. It's about Christ living His life through you. And so the world sees you, sees not you, but Him. Imitation to Christ is not built upon you doing anything but accepting Jesus. Confessing Him as your Savior, being buried with Him in baptism, which takes away your sin problem. In the same time, God puts a gift within you to help you live more and more like Jesus. And this is a process for every one of us. Each day, to get out of the way, to make sure I don't have an eye problem, to make sure I don't stay too close to where I got in at, and make sure I just am practicing spiritual disciplines with people who are also practicing these disciplines, because you know what? Together we're better. Together we're better. That's why the Hebrew writer says, you know, when you all get together, you need to stir up love and good works. That's a really good thing to do. If you're here this morning and you hear this in any way, that something within you says, I just need to do this. Everything's prepared. We'll make it as easy for you as possible, as comfortable as you possible. But everything's prepared. We'd love to hear your confession, assist you in baptism. If you need prayer this morning, Ronnie's chosen a song to sing, for us to sing. Won't you stand as we sing?